NFL Live is brought to you by Truist.
They can't take away what we've done. It's really just a whole nother year. All of it's earned. There's nothing given. It's not about a bunch of hype or a bunch of build up and BS. You know, we got to go do it.
Let's go!
Them coming off title, prime time, set for the perfect stage.
You got to start the season the right way.
World champion Tom Brady.
What a better opportunity to be David against Goliath.
Today starts a new season.
It's finally here. The NFL is back. And tonight, the team who hoisted the Lombardi Trophy in February kicks it off. Bucks versus Cowboys in Tampa 4 hours from now. We'll get to the latest on this game in moments as we welcome you to NFL Live. Marcus Spears is here. Dan Orlovsky is there. Adam Schefter is also with us. And like I said, we will continue to tell you about tonight's game. But we do have some breaking news to get to that we are going to start with as it relates to the Ravens. Adam, what can you tell us?
Well, Laura, it looks like two key Ravens suffered torn ACLs during today's practice. We know that the Ravens feared that running back Gus Edwards suffered a torn ACL, and the suspicion is that Pro Bowl cornerback Marcus Peters also suffered a torn ACL. That's two players, and it's a devastating blow as the Ravens get ready for Monday night's regular season opener against the Las Vegas Raiders in Las Vegas to lose two players of this caliber. Now, both players are going through additional testing to confirm what the Ravens now suspect, but it looks like it's two torn ACLs right now for both players. And think about the Ravens running back position right now. They have lost three running backs to season-ending injuries in recent weeks. They lose J.K. Dobbins, and then they lose Justice Hill, and now they've lost Gus Edwards. Those are some devastating blows for this franchise, and then you compound that with losing Marcus Peters. It is an awful day for the Baltimore Ravens.
It just almost makes you sick to hear the news. Adam Schefter with the latest there. He's with us for the rest of the hour here on NFL Live. Like I said, we will get back to the game tonight as the season opens. But first of all, just your reaction to hearing about so many, now five key Ravens players lost to injury before the season.
Well, the first thing is that this team and the way they like to run offense is predicated on running back depth. So from a football standpoint, it's devastating from how you plan and go throughout the rest of your season. The one thing that I used to always give the Ravens credit for is that they did it by committee and kept a lot of carries off guys and was still able to be very effective. The second thought I have is it something going on with the grass?
Right. What's
is it like ACLs?
It can't just be bad luck, right?
Right. So like you, happening. And you think of them, you think of ACL tears all the time as just unfortunate. You see a guy playing or something gives away, but when you have this many, you got to question what's the surface like.
Something
is off about losing this many guys.
My brain goes to the surface because I'm thinking, did they replace the practice field with a new surface?
It's a legit question.
I've been a part of an organization that they put in a new surface, and I remember the first day going out to practice, the whole team was like, "What is this surface?"
Absolutely.
Because it's not the same one that we've practiced and trained on. I mean, five guys. We're talking J.K. Dobbins, Justice Hill, now Gus Edwards, Marcus Peters, and don't forget Rashad Bateman,
the groin.
I don't want to play an assumption game, but something, this is not, there's something towards the training method or the prehab, the health of guys, how they're training, how the organization is training them, the surface of the field, something, because that is outrageous.
But the thing, to your point, Dio, the thing that makes me think it could potentially be something with the surface, all of these positions are guys that cut a lot.
Right.
Like that stick their foot in the ground and change direction.
Right.
Yeah, so super unfortunate,
man. JK's happened in the game, though. That's the weird thing. So it's,
But
that's a lot.
All right, so we do have a live report coming your way from Ravens practice. That'll be coming in just a little bit. We'll ask more about that. Also, this from Field Yates. Now look at this. Here's the current Ravens running back room. The depth chart, of course, Le'Veon Bell signed to the practice squad recently. Tyson Williams and Trenton Canton. The best available free agent running back, Latavius Murray.
You got to go make a trade.
And maybe it is Murray.
Yep.
That from Field Yates. We'll keep an eye on that as well. Let's get back to the open of the NFL season, though, as it all begins tonight with the Cowboys and Bucks facing off in Tampa. The biggest question, Adam, right now revolving around the status of Cowboys guard Zach Martin. What do we know the latest on him?
Well, Laura, the expectation is that he will not be active for tonight. When the Cowboys flew to Tampa yesterday, he was not on the team plane. Unless he clear tests today and flew in privately and separately. He is not expected to play. And I know that they have said that if anybody could overcome this, Zach Martin could, and he certainly would try, but he still has to pass positive, or he has to pass tests and then somehow find his way to Tampa to be clear to play tonight's game. They don't consider that likely. And Tom Brady will start his NFL record 300th regular season game tonight. No other player ever has started that many regular season games. And interestingly enough, he started his very first NFL regular season game against Peyton Manning. He started against Tony Romo, 200. Dak Prescott will be 300. So Peyton Manning and the Cowboys are always somehow mixed into these records of Tom Brady's.
Yeah, it makes sense, right? And Tom Brady's out there like, yeah, I'm still playing at a really high level. I might just keep going. We'll see what this Bucs team can do starting tonight. Jenna Lane is in Tampa today, has been covering this wild ride for the Buccaneers from signing Tom Brady to the Super Bowl title. It's been quite a run, Jenna. How do the Bucs avoid, though, a Super Bowl hangover?
Yeah, Laura, those dreaded Super Bowl hangovers. I talked to run game coordinator slash assistant head coach Harold Goodwin, and he said if I had my way, I would get rid of all the banners and signage around this stadium here. He said he'd also get rid of the ones at their practice facility. He knows a thing or two about defending Super Bowls. He was part of two championships with the Steelers. But I talked to quarterbacks coach Clyde Christensen, who said, I don't think it's going to be an issue. In fact, he said he thinks there's zero chance for complacency. And he pointed to Tom Brady, and he likened it to when they were with the Indianapolis Colts, he and Peyton Manning. And he said those guys, it's just not in their being to allow for complacency. And they make sure that that resonates with all of their teammates and their coaches. Plus, Bruce Arians said that their practices had been so competitive during training camp that if guys didn't bring their A game every day, they would get embarrassed. And then I love this, and talking to some of the players, Mike Evans and Carlton Davis, David said, we won another boat parade, and you could just really get the sense that it's become addicting for them. They had waited so long to finally win that now that they've got a taste of it, they don't want to let go of it.
Yeah, I mean, Jenna, you know, if you really think about it from our perspective, from the media's perspective, I'd love another one of those boat parades, too. That was great to watch. Reigning Super Bowl champions,
by
the way,
I agree.
Yeah, right, you get to cover it. Reigning Super Bowl champs have won 5 of the last 6 season openers. We'll see what the Buccaneers can do tonight. And when you think about, as you see it right there, the opportunity to repeat, Marcus, it's so difficult. But this is a Bucs team that is built differently with Tom Brady at the helm. Is it as much, though, about Tom Brady as it could be about other parts of this team?
Well, first of all, let's be honest. You're talking about an undefeated season because Tom Brady is their quarterback. Like, that, like ultimately, that's okay. Why that right. Is even a part of this conversation.
I feel like there's a butt coming, like, though. Like,
but.
We knew it.
Tom Brady is the unquestioned absolute leader of this football team, right? I don't think anybody questions the type of mentality he brought to Tampa and how guys galvanized around him, and they got it done last year. But the catalyst for winning games will be on this defense, okay? We all expect this offense to be top 5 in the league, if not number 1. But if that defense plays like they played down the stretch, because sometimes it gets lost. Yeah. Like, sometimes we forget that they picked off Aaron Rodgers 3 times.
Yep.
Sometimes we forget that they finally beat the Saints in the playoff run and sent Drew Brees home picking the ball off 3 times. So the difference between leadership, right, and the guy that we think is always responsible for a team winning is a bit different deal when we actually get on the field. Because right. We know if Todd Bowles in that unit plays at a high level, that's what is going to make this team unbeatable, as opposed to us trying to find some other way to say this offense is great. They're great.
No,
they got
right.
Guys everywhere. The defense will be the catalyst for a Super Bowl mm-hmm. and undefeated season if it's going to happen.
I agree with you, but of course the defensive guys.
Yeah.
Dan, let's look at tonight. Specifically, though, what's one thing you'll be watching early when it comes to the Bucs offense?
Yeah, I would say, do the Bucs pass catchers listen to the football? When you're playing a zone defense, Dan Quinn, right, the quarterback is going to tell you where to turn. Now, watch this from Arizona in the preseason here. This is just a short little hook route in between two zone defenders. It's how you beat that, right? Now, these two closing defenders are going to drive and try to vice the pass catcher. The quarterback is throwing this football on the inside shoulder. He should turn to his right. You're right of the screen. The pass catcher is going to turn and open left. Bang, it becomes a turnover. See it from the reverse angle, right? Again, listen to where the quarterback is throwing you. That ball is thrown on the right shoulder, but he's turning left. If he turns right, He's got 2 yards of separation before Micah Parsons drives on the football. Now, this is something that you can try to simulate at practice. You can practice it as much as you want. It's different when you get into the game. You know what I'm saying? You guys remember watching Hard Knocks?
Mm-hmm.
And they had Quandre, they put the boxing glove on him, and they spun the guy, and he went to punch it out. That's exactly what that is. Hmm. And so those Bucs receivers, tight ends, backs pass catching wise, when that ball's put on your right shoulder, Tom is telling you, dude, turn to the right.
Yeah.
Because there's a bad guy inside. Vice versa, turn to your left. You better turn which way he's telling you, because the Cowboys, if they're trying to win the game tonight, a way to do it is get a couple Peanut Tillman punches and force some turnovers.
Bro, I was so confused when you said you got to listen to the football. I had no idea. That was damn good.
Guys, the Cowboys defense had their struggles last season, but one area they did excel in was turnovers. They forced 23 of them. That's tied for 7th most in the league. We're just about 4 hours and change from kickoff of the NFL season. Big news, though, that came down right before our show. Gus Edwards potentially out for the season. The running backs and this entire Ravens team keeps dealing with injuries. A live report from Baltimore is coming your way. NFL Live is presented by Truist, an official retail bank of the NFL, partnering together to care for our communities. And in part by Hulu's Wu-Tang, an American saga. New episodes streaming Wednesdays only on Hulu.
Wu-Tang Clan,
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Monday Night Football kicks off next week with the Ravens in Vegas taking on the Raiders, and of course many implications now with the Ravens injuries. Finding out today Gus Edwards could be out for the season. Steve Levy, Brian Griese, Louis Riddick, Lisa Salters, John Perry on the call, 8 Eastern on ESPN, ABC, ESPN Deportes, and the ESPN app. Special edition of Monday Night Countdown kicks off their coverage. Speaking of that breaking news, let's get right to it here as we've got Jeremy Fowler in Baltimore today, and all the headlines leading up to today have been around the injuries that this team has dealt with, and then again today, another one in Gus Edwards. What can you tell us, Jeremy?
Well, Laura, they're still undergoing tests with Gus Edwards, but the early returns are that this is not good and that he could be out for the year. And so the Ravens right now are happy that they signed Le'Veon Bell, the former All-Pro, to their practice squad. We talked to Coach John Harbaugh today. He said even before those injuries that Bell had a chance to be activated for the Monday night game. And I actually spoke with Le'Veon this offseason. He said he wanted to go to a place that utilizes the running back in the purest form. He believes he's still in his prime after things didn't work out with the Jets and the Chiefs. He wants to maximize every snap he still gets in this league, and so he is primed to potentially play. And I'm also hearing Devontae Freeman, the veteran, had a really good workout with the Ravens. They could maybe add him as well, and they're going to rely, Laura, on Lamar Jackson's arm even more. There's been a lot of buzz in the building of how well he's thrown the ball. He's been driving it. I watched closely in the practice session that I got to see. He was throwing intermediate and deep balls. Everything was driving it downfield, trying to get some action there. Jackson said he's, you know, slightly overhauled his mechanics to throw a tighter spiral. He believes those practice sessions will translate to game action soon enough.
Yeah, Jeremy, it will be interesting to see Lamar Jackson out on the field on Monday Night Football coming your way week one. Let's bring Adam Schefter back in here. We've also got Louis Riddick joining us as well to talk a little more Monday Night Football as we thank Jeremy Fowler for the latest from Baltimore. It wasn't, Adam, just the Gus Edwards injury today. There was more.
Yeah, their cornerback Marcus Peters also is thought to have suffered a torn ACL. And it's the same practice. To lose two players like that is a devastating blow to the Baltimore Ravens. And it is very difficult to try to replace a cornerback of the caliber of Marcus Peters, who was so important to that excellent Baltimore defense. They lost him today. They lost Gus Edwards today. And again, they've been bringing in running backs all week long. They signed Trenton Cannon to their 53-man roster earlier this week. But to lose Marcus Peters is a massive blow to this defense in a division that's loaded with wide receivers. You think about the wide receivers in Cleveland with Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham Jr., in Cincinnati with Tyler Boyd and T. Higgins and Jamar Chase, and you think about the receivers in Pittsburgh with Chase Claypool and Juju Smith-Schuster and some of the players there. They are in a division chock full of great wide receivers. This is such a blow to the team mentally, psychologically, and it's a blow to those players who've been ready for the season. Now, Gus Edwards, we should mention, did sign a contract extension before the season, roughly $12 million, $8 million guaranteed. So fortunately for him, he has that financial security. Marcus Peters also had signed an extension in recent times. So they are set there financially, but still, what a devastating blow for the team. What a devastating blow for the players. Just a very unfortunate day for the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, listen, Adam, to your point and the devastation injury-wise, you wonder, can this team sort of pick itself up by its bootstraps and find a way to compete? But in this league, Lewis, it's so hard if you don't have your full roster of people, your full complement, when that's what you thought you were going to rely on. You, of course, Lewis, will be calling Monday Night Football, this game against the Raiders, where the Ravens will travel to Vegas. Now, with the injuries compounded on the ones we already knew about, what are you looking out for in this one?
Yeah. Well, really, Laura, what you're looking out for is who's going to be the guys to step up and fill in the void, because as devastating as this is the kind of thing that Eric DaCosta, the general manager, has to almost anticipate. You have to anticipate things that can't be anticipated, which are players that are frontline players getting knocked out of your lineup here. And when you see like all these running backs that have been knocked out, and J.K. Dobbins and Justice Hill, that means a guy like Tyson Williams, who spent the year last year on their practice squad as a running back out of BYU, who signed as a college free agent, who had a heck of a preseason, you're up, man. It's your time. And this is, we've seen people all of a sudden rise to the occasion in these kind of situations, and he's going to have to deliver. And Le'Veon Bell's going to have to deliver. On the defensive side of the ball, look, Marcus Peters, I've described him as one of the greatest thieves that the NFL has ever seen as far as his ability to rob quarterbacks blind because of how instinctive he is. But, on top, you know, and it's a devastating blow. There's no question about that. But the Ravens were carrying 11 defensive backs on their roster. That was the strongest position group on their team. So that means a veteran like Jimmy Smith, who just started practicing again after spraining an ankle, you're up, Jimmy. They're going to need to get him healthy as quickly as possible. Anthony Averett, another guy who they drafted in the fourth round out of Bama back in 2018, you're up. Tavon Young, you play in the slot, but you're up. These guys all have to now come to the rescue and really, you know, raise their level of play and play prominent key roles for a team that, look, they just have to keep things rolling here, because this is a team that's supposed to be contending in the division and contending in the conference.
Yeah, absolutely. Once again, Gus Edwards, J.K. Dobbins, Justice Hill, and also Marcus Peters and Rashad Bateman, some of the latest injuries that this Ravens team is dealing with. Lou, don't go anywhere. We're coming back to you a little bit later on in tonight's game. But time now to get into some DraftKings predictions with Marcus and Dan. Dan, you first. Will Matthew Stafford throw two or more touchdowns in his Rams debut on Sunday? Come on.
I'm going to definitely say more. First of all, because he's a stud. Second of all, because my son Hunter wore his jersey to school today.
Oh,
start the NFL season. I think they're going to get more possessions because playing Chicago, they're going to get some turnovers. Second of all, I think that the offensive line and Sean McVay are going to come out super aggressive with the football. I'm going to say he's going to get four touchdowns. Two of them are going to be to Cooper Kupp. Matthew Stafford starts an awesome 2021 season off with complete fire.
All right, whoa, fire. Marcus, here's the thing about the Jets and Panthers. Wilson against Darnold is fascinating for a lot of reasons. Yeah. Who has more passing yards on Sunday's game?
Well, I'm just surprised that my little nephew Hunter didn't already have a Rams jersey. His dad played for every damn body. I'm going Sam Darnold in this game. I think it's a revenge tour against the New York Jets and how incompetent Adam Gase and that staff was while he was there.
Whoa.
Now he's with Joe Brady. Matt Rhule believes in him. They extended him, gave him the money that he needed and was looking looking for, and now it's time for Sam Darnold to go out and make that right.
Listen, Cowboys. Oh, what?
Yeah.
Even like a Marcus Spears Cowboys jersey?
No, nope.
It's over.
Fire starter.
I ruined it.
That seems like a little bit cruel, Dan. Ridiculous. Still to come, Tom Brady has some thoughts about the new jersey numbers rules. Can these changes have to make a difference between a win and a loss? We're going to tell you next on NFL Live.
I would love for you to be my teammate.
You are.
Football is back on DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. And this Sunday only, new players can play free for $1 million top prize when you make your first deposit. Download the DraftKings app and sign up with the code NFL Live.
Welcome to the Nets.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back to NFL Live, presented by Truist. And that's where it all goes down tonight. The reigning Super Bowl champ, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, welcoming in the Cowboys to Tampa Bay. We'll get to see Tom Brady against Dak Prescott and a whole lot more than that. One thing to keep an eye on in tonight's game will be the Buccaneers blitzing. Since Todd Bowles took over as the defensive coordinator, Tampa Bay's blitzed on 39% of opponents' dropbacks. That's second highest rate in the league over that span. The Bucs, though, they might want to be a little careful blitzing Prescott, as the Cowboys quarterback has excelled when opponents bring extra rushers. He ranks top 10 in the league in QBR, touchdown to interception ratio, and sack percentage against the blitz. Probably helps that he's got that mobility as part of his game. Now just 3 hours and 50 minutes or so until kickoff of the NFL season. Lewis Riddick, Marcus Spears here. Yeah, that drum rolls for the NFL. We can't wait. Lewis, let's talk about the Cowboys offense when they're on the field. Where's your attention going to be?
It's really from guard to guard, Laura. It's whether or not they can capture the line of scrimmage and keep the pocket from collapsing inside out on Dak Prescott, both in the run game on those inside zones, inside counters and powers, and whether or not they can keep the pocket from collapsing on him when inevitably they get into some kind of third and medium, the third and long situation. Because look, if they're at full strength, that's really from a defensive perspective where you want to assault first, between the A and B gaps. Push it right up the middle and make the quarterback move off of his spot and move lateral, which is exactly, if I'm Dallas, I don't want Dak to have to do too much of. So that's where the focus has to be for Dallas, making sure that those running backs, when they're stepping up in pass protection, insert firmly in those A and B gaps. Because I can tell you this, they get them the third and long, third and six, third and seven plus. JPP's coming inside going, I want to get some of this offensive guard who's in here for Zach Martin. Joe Tryon saying, let me get some. Vita Vea saying, let me get some. Marcus Spears is probably saying, hey, you know what? I played for the Cowboys. Let me get some, too.
Let me get some.
Everybody's going to want a piece of that
action.
Let me get
some. Lou, I mean, listen, it is hard to look at this matchup and not think about that Bucs D line. But yeah, Let's talk about the Cowboys defense, because I think even though we know this is a tough matchup for them against this Bucs offense, it is a chance for us to see what this scheme looks like against Dan Quinn, or with Dan Quinn as their defensive coordinator. What do you expect out of the Cowboys D?
Listen, I got three keys, and I'm going to have to eat this first one out, because for so long we've screened stop the run, right, Lou? But now it's about limiting the run, because you want to force teams to be in third and long situations. That's football 101. So I got three things that the Dallas Cowboys defense needs to do to give this team an opportunity to win this football game. And it can happen. Like, the defense is the part that usually is further along when we start a season out than the offense getting all of their things going. So first thing, limit the run, okay? The second thing the Dallas Cowboys needs to do is something Lou alluded to talking about Tampa. They need to figure out how to create pressure in the center of the pocket, whether that's with their with their four-man rush, whether that's dialing up Micah Parsons or Jalen Smith and using their speed to create problems and get Tom Brady off the spot. Look, here's the reality, and I know nobody likes to say anything bad about Tom Brady. The reality is when Tom Brady has the move, he's bad. He's okay. A bad quarterback. Yeah. That's the reality. That's what the numbers, the stats, and when we watch, that's what it tells us. The second thing is, and Lou knows this playing on the back, you got to turn the football over. Mm-hmm. If you're an outmatched football team, the one thing that you have to hold on to is you need to create turnovers, give your offense a short field. While we know Dak is coming back after not playing for a long time, and you have to give these guys an opportunity at least, at minimum, in the possession with a kick, although they need to turn it into touchdowns. I feel like we talked about Dak so much. We talked about the things that the Dallas Cowboys offensively are missing with Zach Martin. We talked about all of these things. Defense can help the Cowboys win this game if those guys handle those three keys that I just talked about.
Yeah, one thing, though, Lou, is that getting pressure on Brady is easier said than done. Yeah. He doesn't like getting pressured, but it's hard to do it to him. It hadn't happened a whole lot.
Yeah, you're right, Laura. And I'll tell you what, they need to get it in a very specific way. Marcus alluded to it. They need to get it from guard to guard in the A and B gap locations. And I'll tell you this, really, you know, those keys that he put up there on that screen are perfect. And behind each one of them, he should put the number 11, Micah Parsons. Yeah. Limit the runs, Micah Parsons, make some tackles. Assault the pocket and get pressure, Micah Parsons. You're not going backwards, you're going forwards tonight. And you're coming up to A and B gaps, and we're going to scheme up some stuff where every time Tom Brady looks up, he's going, who in the hell's number 11 and who's got him? Why is he in my face over and over and over and over again? You know, channeling my inner Marshawn Lynch right there. Over and over and over, he has to be in his face. And then lastly, he's got to turn the ball over, meaning don't just get there and take the ball away from him. So I'm telling you, it was always my thought that Micah Parsons really held the key to this team's season as far as success or failure. And tonight he's on the biggest stage. They need him to be big, real big, in this opening game.
You know, Lou, you're talking about jersey numbers there a little bit with Micah Parsons wearing number 11, and that may be more key than you realize because the league's owners approved a rule in April that allows running backs, receivers, and tight ends to wear any number between 1 and 49, any number between 80 and 89. Linebackers, defensive backs can now wear numbers between 1 and 49, and Tom Brady didn't like it.
Feel pretty strongly about that.
Yeah. A little bit harder still to pick up those extra guys? Or, I mean, Ryan Jensen said it would be maybe 30 minutes of extra work during the week scouting the
phone. Well, Ryan's so smart. I mean, for him, 30 minutes probably isn't that much. But anyway, I don't want to get into it. I've already talked ad nauseum about it. Other than I think it's a stupid rule just to put it out there one more time.
Oh, yeah, Tom Brady not mincing his words there. Dan, is this really that big of a deal?
Absolutely, and I love that Lou and Marcus were talking about. We didn't even plan this segment about with Micah Parsons and internal pressure. So everybody knows protection is often the conversation of where's Waldo. And when you had the old rules, you know where Waldo was going to be, and you can send those guys. Now with the different jerseys, there's going to be a lot of different Waldos. Now if you look, protection-wise, it's like, all right, these are four defensive linemen. We all know that, right? And so now we move forward to the jersey conversation because standing over the ball is number 11, Micah Parsons. Now in the old days, you would tell your offensive line, hey, protection-wise, you guys got all the 90s and maybe number 50s, right? Those are your guys' offensive line. I don't want to back blocking a big blitzing linebacker. Number 11 was often a safety or a cornerback, right? Well, now 11 is a linebacker. Do you want your tailback tonight blocking Micah Parsons? So you got to pay attention to 11. Well, the next step is 42, but he's a linebacker, coach, so who's going to be responsible for 42? And then the next guy's number 6. He's a safety. But then Jalen Smith wears number 9. Imagine being there going, hey, is that 6 or that 9? Is it the running backs or is it the offensive linemen? So where's Waldo and who's going to be protection or responsible for those guys' protection? Now, Houston's going to go, well, we want our offensive line to be prepared for Micah Parsons. They're responsible. Parsons is going to go, all right, I'm going to fake blitz, and that defensive end is going to drop. Well, these guys actually do a good job in protection of kicking. But here comes number 6, that safety, Donovan Stewart. Remember I told you, Jalen Smith is 9. You might tell your offensive line, don't block 6. He's a safety, but you guys got to be responsible for number 9. That's going to take communication. The Texans struggle to pass this off, and when Tyrod Taylor wants to go make that throw, six comes essentially unblocked. So that's something to pay attention to tonight. Now this is the same front, right? There's those same four defensive linemen. Micah Parsons walked up into the football again. Here's Keanu Neal. That's Keanu Neal, and now there's another safety, but it's number 32. Again, coach, what numbers are our guys? Is it 11? Is it 6? Is it 9? Is it 32? There's going to be so much more of trying to figure out who's who in the zoo. This time, what they're going to do, and this is what Lewis and Marcus were talking about, there goes Micah Parsons, right? Parsons is going to go take that center and try to split him to turn him from being square to making him perpendicular to the line, and here comes that wrapping defensive end. So Micah Parsons this time blitzes instead of dropping. There's that internal pressure and forces the quarterback to move. This is a real thing. No longer is it easy to tell your offensive line, you've got 90s and 50s. You're going to have to say 90s, number 11, number 9, but not number 6. We got 42, but not number 32. This is an issue. It could be something that the Cowboys can use tonight as a strength in their defense led by number 11.
When you've played as long as Tom Brady has played, change has got to be hard to adjust to. Let's get to some more information here. We have breaking news on something happening out of Pittsburgh, but Adam Schefter's got it on the other side of the break. It's all about TJ Watt and that deal. Wait, Adam's here right now. They're telling me he sat down. Come on, Adam Schefter. Breaking news here on NFL Live. What's going on in Pittsburgh?
Laura, they have a four-year, $112 million deal with T.J. Watt to make him the highest-paid defensive player in the game. The deal includes $80 million in guaranteed money, and yes, he got the guarantees and the structure that he wanted. Again, this deal was going to get done, but the time the regular season opener began, it had to, because T.J. Watt is that important to the defense, and the deal now is agreed to, and it will be signed here shortly.
Saw, Adam, even Ben Roethlisberger as recently as yesterday making a plea to get this deal done. They wanted T.J. Watt, who is the heart and soul not only of their defense but to this team in a lot of ways, get this deal done to get him paid. I'll let our defensive guy have the first reaction.
Money.
We're dancing for life. It's not our money. It's
I know.
TJ
I just be
money.
So happy. I'd be so happy when these guys get paid and it works out for them. I was talking about Pittsburgh. Y'all need to get this deal done. Not only was T.J. Watt obviously the guy on that defense that created a lot of opportunity for guys around him, he's the face of the franchise. Right. Like, we know Ben is on the other side. T.J. Watt is going to be the guy that is synonymous with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And then when you think about this deal, the assurance of being locked up, right? And one thing we've always talked about with T.J. Watt is his motor. Play one looks like play 60.
Yeah.
That's the way he plays football. So for him to be rewarded and for him to have as much impact on the way they play defense, there is a history. My boy R.C. go love this. It's a history in Pittsburgh of a standard in which you play defense. And these are the type of guys that continue to keep that standard moving forward. So I'm excited for T.J. He's earned this. He wasn't thought of as this type of guy early in his career, so it means even more to see him get his money, and a lot of other young players should be looking at this and using it as an example on their way to their deal.
Yeah, you get what you earn, not what you deserve. I always say NFL players, they get a lot of money. There's a lot of people in the world that deserve things that do more impactful, but he earned his money. And I think RC was the guy who sent out the tweet was, well, you took him earlier than the fans wanted you to. He's exceeded the expectations.
Yeah.
He's outperformed the contract. I mean, T.J. Watt is unquestionably in the conversation for best defensive player in football.
Yes.
I mean, Ben said it yesterday, but that's a real thing. And so I love the fact that the Steelers did it, because I believe you mentioned the point yesterday that, well, a player like Mika Fitzpatrick is paying attention.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
When the player gets taken or traded for, and Mika's, and I outperform what you're paying me, when does it happen where I get what I've earned, not what other people say I deserve?
Yeah. All right, once again, the breaking news from Adam Schefter here right now. T.J. Watt agreeing to a four-year, $112 million deal with the Steelers. Lewis Riddick, it makes him the highest paid defensive player in the NFL. What are your thoughts?
Look, this is the way business is supposed to work, right? This is good business for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And it's not shocking that it took some time, because that's how negotiations are supposed to go. You're not supposed to just show your hand right out of the gate. But the Rooneys are smart people. The Rooneys have a long history. And they have a long history of, you know, being around people who are great defenders. Look, I played against some of those Pittsburgh Steelers defenses of the early 90s that had Kevin Green, that had Greg Lloyd, that had Chad Brown. Those guys were monsters. Those guys snatched the life out of our teams in Cleveland many, many times. And T.J. Watt is another in that long history of having edge defenders that are just absolutely game wreckers. And look, when you look at the statistics, if you just want to look at it objectively, forget the subjective part of watching the tape and how good does he rush versus, you know, power versus speed or where he was drafted at all. Look, over the past 3 years, there's only been one guy that has outperformed over that time T.J. Watt in terms of sacks and tackles for a loss. And we know who that dude is. That's number 99 for the L.A. Rams, Aaron Donald.
Hello.
These two are neck and neck right now. So they deserve their money. So give it to them and let's move on and get to the rest of the business at hand in Pittsburgh. Because even Mike Tomlin said, T.J. Watt is a bad bleepity bleep. And you know what he meant by that.
I love it. Guys, the last time the Steelers had the highest paid defensive player.
I love when Lou get excited about deals. Lou been in their front office. When people get paid, how you talk about it.
Gets done. Lou likes when good business is done.
That's like his way of counting when the Rooneys don't do it the right way. That's his way of counting.
The Rooneys do it the right way. I was telling you guys that Pittsburgh had the highest defensive paid player all the way back to Rod Woodson. So it's been a long time, but here they go with T.J. Watt. Now, lots of breaking news as we get you ready for the opening of the 2021 NFL season tonight. The breaking news about T.J. Watt was on the positive side. On the Ravens side of things elsewhere in that division, many issues on the injury front. Gus Edwards, the latest to go down, as well as Marcus Peters. You're watching NFL Live, presented by Truist.
Get your
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Glad you're with us on NFL Live. Breaking news as we get ready for the NFL to open the season tonight with the Bucs and Cowboys in Tampa. Adam Schefter, though, news out of Pittsburgh to start.
Well, Laura, T.J. Watt returned to practice yesterday, and today he's going to sign a four-year, $112 million contract that includes $80 million in guaranteed money that makes him the highest-paid defensive player in the game. This had been a standoff all summer long, and with the season opening on Sunday, Pittsburgh playing against the Buffalo Bills, both sides had to get this deal done, and they managed to agree to that extension this afternoon, a short time ago. T.J. Watt not going anywhere. The Pittsburgh Steelers get done a big deal for their big-time defensive player.
And bad news, Adam, for one of their big rivals. What's going on in Baltimore?
Horrendous day of practice for the Baltimore Ravens today, Laura. No other way to say it. They lost running back Gus Edwards to what is thought to be a season-ending torn ACL. Edwards would become the third running back in recent weeks that has been lost to a season-ending injury, joining J.K. Dobbins and Justice Hill. And in the same practice, the Ravens also lost their Pro Bowl cornerback, Marcus Peters, who has 31 interceptions the last few years, to also what is thought to be a torn ACL. Edwards, Peters, on top of Dobbins and Justice Hill. No team has had a rougher 2 or 3 week stretch than the Baltimore Ravens. You take a look at some of the notable injuries that they have suffered here, and that doesn't even include the first round draft pick Rashad Bateman, who opened the season on IR with the groin injury, and Miles Boykin, a wide receiver, also on IR. So this is a team that has been banged up and really today had a horrible practice, losing two players to what is thought to be season-ending torn ACLs.
Yeah, Adam, to your point, these injuries, especially to the running back room, have happened in such a short span, the three injuries all happening in the span of 12 days. And now Tyson Williams, a practice player from a year ago, doesn't have an NFL carry, becomes the Ravens' lead back as we bring it back out to Dan and Mark. Is here. Anthony Averett, by the way, a fourth-round pick in 2018 out of Alabama, would be a candidate to replace Marcus Peters starting opposite of Marlon Humphrey. That is a huge loss, too. As much as we talk about the offense, on the defensive side for the Ravens, that's tough.
It's enormous for me. I think it's bigger than losing Gus Edwards, candidly, because this is a defense defense, you know this, big fella, that they want to pressure and they want to play man coverage. In today's NFL, you better have three guys in your secondary corner-wise that can play, that can straight up cover, because you're going to play offenses that are built upon weapons, right? Look at their schedule. They open up Raiders. Well, Waller and Ruggs and Renfro and Brian Edwards. Then week two, Kansas City, I don't need to list off their weapons. Denver, Sutton, KJ Hamler, Jerry Jeudy. Then they go to Indy with Pittman and their tailbacks and the tight ends. Then we're talking the Chargers. I mean, this is a team that is going to, in many ways, have to reshape their identity defensively, because Marcus Peters was a corner that you could go, we're going to pressure, we're going to play lockdown man, and he's going to be good. They can't do that anymore without him.
All right, what about on the running back side of things? What do they go out and do? Can they make a trade? Is there someone out there that would make sense?
I mean, conventionally, you think Latavius Murray, after him not taking a pay cut from the New Orleans Saints, you think that's a guy that's ready to play, right? Maybe not the greatest fit, but right now you in panic mode. You in depth. You need depth. And to your point with Marcus Peters about the defense, it's not only about losing a really good player, it's a shot right at the heart of your scheme.
The way
you do things. From an offensive standpoint with the Baltimore Ravens, it's predicated on a lot of guys being in the backfield. It's predicated on keeping carries off of those guys, like I mentioned earlier. Especially, and then you think about with Lamar, it's effective for a lot of guys because of how he plays the quarterback spot. Devastating for these guys individually from an injury standpoint, missing a season, but more with the team, what you do, your philosophy.
You got to make a trade.
Rashad Penny,
Mostert, call the Colts, maybe Ronald Jones.
You got to be on the phone with 31 other teams trying to figure out how we can get guys.
Is the bottom line. We'll see this Ravens team on Monday Night Football right here on ESPN. Also new on NFL Live, there's a game tonight, guys. The NFL season opens. Tom Brady arriving there in Tampa Bay. He gets to start this season off at home in Buccaneers Stadium. He's rocking some white after Labor Day, but I'm in full support of that. NFL Live is presented by Truist, an official retail bank of the NFL, partnering together to care for our communities.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Glad you're with us on NFL Live as the NFL begins tonight. Adam Schefter with more breaking news out of Baltimore. What more can you tell us, Adam?
Well, Laura, moments ago, the Baltimore Ravens signed Devonta Freeman, the veteran free agent running back, to their practice squad. He will be joining the practice squad with the idea that eventually he'll be promoted to the active roster. You remember earlier this week, Devonta Freeman and Le'Veon Bell both worked out for the Baltimore Ravens, and now both are currently on Baltimore's practice squad. So the Ravens have the most high-profile practice squad of running backs that we've ever seen in the NFL, with Le'Veon Bell and Devonta Freeman. Both players, you would think, would find their way onto the active roster, with the Ravens having lost J.K. Dobbins, Justice Hill, and now Gus Edwards to what is thought to be a season-ending torn ACL. He's undergoing additional further testing, but he suffered the injury at practice today, as did their Pro Bowl cornerback Marcus Peters. And obviously the Baltimore Ravens are making moves immediately in preparation for not only Monday night's game against the Las Vegas Raiders, but to make sure that they have quality running backs for the remainder of the season for a team that has suffered more blows than any team in recent weeks.
Yeah, again, Adam, we'll see what they look like on Monday Night Football. We'll also see if they add even more to that running back stable, because their offense is so predicated upon a lot of running backs available. But let's get to tonight, because we do have football tonight once again in beautiful Tampa Bay. The Cowboys heading to face the reigning Super Bowl champs, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They said, those Tampa Bay Bucks, they're going to bring everybody back at their celebration parade, and that's exactly what they did. But let's go to the Cowboys side of things for more on Dak Prescott, who is coming off a devastating injury. Let's bring in Ed Werder from Tampa. Ed, it's obviously been a tough road for Dak, but what challenges will he face tonight as he returns to the field for the first time?
Yeah, Laura, you know, so many of the psychological challenges that Dak Prescott expected to confront in the preseason remain to be experienced for the first time here tonight. Since he strained his shoulder in the first padded practice of training camp, and the Cowboys then chose not to risk him in the preseason, Prescott now has to acclimate himself to the speed of the game after an 11-month absence. He has to realize he can take a hit and take the next snap and throw with defenders around his legs, all while trying to win here on the road against an elite defense that blitzes the quarterback and stops the run. This is not the way Prescott or the Cowboys wanted it to be. After a month of making no competitive throws, Prescott resumed full practices on August 28th, saying he was ripping passes, not thinking about it, making the plays that needed to be made. And 2 days ago, wide receiver Michael Gallup said, quote, "Dak looks like he never left." One other concern, Prescott playing without right guard Zach Martin for just the third time in 75 career NFL starts. And as you may remember, running back Ezekiel Elliott, Laura, described Martin as the team's best offensive player.
Yeah, I think a lot of us feel like Zach Martin might be the best at his position in the entire league. Ed Werder, thanks for the latest there from Tampa. We got time for one more thing before we go. And today that means picking a winner in the season opener. Dan and I are both going Bucks. We think they're winning by double digits. And so I'm just going to brush on past that because we know who we're picking. But we got the Cowboys guy here. Who are you going with, Marcus? Is it Bucks or is it Cowboys?
Never be emotional in this situation.
Are you okay?
I think I'm about to do it.
Uh-oh.
If you do it, I'm going to shave your face.
I think I'm going to do it. Something happening to my body right now.
No.
I think I'm going to do it. Now I'm going with Tampa. Man, I ain't that crazy.
Boom.
Like,
I
didn't. We didn't prepare and scour over film to just go crazy, okay? Now, that may be sometimes this year I get emotional, but look, Tampa is too much, man. We just talked about Zach Martin being out, Dak returning, not having a lot of plays this offseason. And also, this team, from a defensive standpoint in the Dallas Cowboys are going to be doing some identity searching while this game is going on, while Tampa knows fully who they are.
If the Cowboys score in 20, they should be doing cartwheels all the way back.
About it.
We have it being a little closer than he does.
Yeah.
All right, we'll see you tomorrow on NFL Live. Enjoy the opening of the NFL season in 2021.
Have fun, y'all.
Woo! We're back.